Today our text is really this response of Felix to the preaching of Paul the Apostle, and it is that Felix trembled. Now, when any preacher goes to a congregation preaching for a call or seeking the approval of men, he will naturally want to put his best foot forward or his best sermon forward, and he would be enticed to preach those things that are favorable unto men. Well, Paul the Apostle was not of that ilk. And instead of placating, instead of trying to bring something that would be man-pleasing, he stood before Felix, and we see him lean over the podium as he was given opportunity to speak. And as he gripped hold of that, he leaned over and he said to Felix, "I have something to say to you, because before we preach the gospel, we must use the yardstick of the law so that you can comprehend the breadth and the depth of God's love." And so he announced his text and his words, and he preached unto Felix righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. Now, Felix was guilty of every one of these things. And Paul was being very faithful to this man, very faithful to his soul, and warning him about the sins that were in his life and that he needed to get right with God through the gospel of the Lord Jesus. And I come to you today and I seek to be faithful to the Bible and to your soul. And as I preach the gospel, the good news that Jesus saves, I must also use the same yardstick, because as sin stuck to Felix like wet mud, sin is abounding today, and sin is destroying so many souls, and I fear that it might be destroying your soul also. And so I beg of you to follow along as we come to this ministry of Paul to Felix and see how he preached to him. You'll see firstly that Paul exposed Felix, the extortioner. He preached unto him righteousness. Now, this is the yardstick of uprightness. It is God's plumb line of what is true, what is square, and what is right on the mark. And it exposes every faulty thing that is amiss. And Felix came to this measure of, well, God's perfect standard, but he didn't measure up. And Paul warned him. Now, Felix was a politician, and of course, he played the game. He sought to please men, and as a man pleaser, he hoped that money should be given him of Paul. And that's why I'm calling this that Paul spoke to Felix as an extortioner. If you look there at verse 26, he hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul. And so here is this wicked man. He is got Paul the Apostle's life in his hands, and all he's interested in is money. Money was controlling him. Money was dictating to him how he lived, how he thought, and how he would decide on things. And if that's happening to you, be warned. Be warned that money is destroying you. The love of money is the root of all evil, and it is a destroyer. And Paul preached to Felix the extortioner, and I must warn you today that money, or the love of it, the abuse of it, the lust after it, will destroy you, because you'll make all the wrong decisions, certainly concerning your soul. And it is difficult for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And you must be willing to do the right and count your soul more valuable than any earthly thing. And of course, to this, Felix trembled. And if you are trembling today, and you ought to, then I trust that you will come to be reconciled to the Lord through the grace of the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Now, if you're a Christian, you don't need to tremble as Felix did. You don't need to tremble at all because you're justified. You are covered in the snow-white righteousness of the Lord Jesus. You have made Christ to be the head of your heart and life, and you are trusting in His redeeming love to save your soul. You're not trusting in money or the almighty dollar, but rather you have Jesus as the Lord of your life, and you are reconciled unto Him. And of course, that's what atonement means, that we are reconciled to God. So the first thing we see here in Paul's ministry to Felix, he preached to him as the extortioner with warning. And we need to take heed that we do not follow money before the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Then also Paul exposed Felix the adulterer, because he preached unto him temperance. Now, the word temperance today is usually associated with abstinence from alcohol or liquor. But when Paul preached to Felix, it meant sins of the body. Now, he claimed Drusilla as his wife, but in reality, Drusilla the Jewess was the wife of another man, a king called Azizus, king of Emesa. And Drusilla, therefore, was his mistress. And now they were living together in adultery. And Paul was warning Felix about his licentious living. Felix was a fornicator and a ruthless sinner who did not care about right or wrong, nor of self-control. And here Paul preached to him on those terms. Now, today we need to preach the gospel to the ungodly and warn them that your lifestyle matters. Your choices of partner matters. And God blesses marriage, but everything outside of that, God will curse. And today, the marriage bed is defiled. Adultery is rampant. Young people sin heedlessly. Fornication is practiced wildly, and there is little self-control. Dancing, dressing provocatively, young ladies, young girls dressing almost as if they were prostitutes on the street. And that lustful living, because it really is an invitation for lust, and it causes lust. And all of this, Paul preached, God will judge, and he preached temperance. Now, the Christian should be free from these things, for the gospel brings temperance into our lives. And by the power of the gospel, the Christian can say no to sin. Now, the Lord gives grace that we desire and that we may live in purity. The Holy Spirit comes in to these old sinful bodies of ours. The Holy Spirit takes up residence. Our bodies become the temple of the Holy Spirit. And it is the Spirit's work to purify, to sanctify, and to change us into the image of the Lord Jesus. And so the Christian will desire to walk, talk, dress, and live with godliness. And this is the power of the gospel at work in the believer's heart. But you won't have that power until you trust the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Until He comes to live within you, you will be powerless against all the lusts of the flesh and the sins of this world. And so I have to plead with you and ask you, have you been converted? Do you have a new heart? Are you born again? Are you truly saved, living in the very victory of Calvary in your life? because that's what the Lord does. He brings Calvary into your life, and the power of Jesus' blood becomes now not only outward protection, but inward victory, that you might live above the world in sin. The Apostle Peter said in 2 Peter 1:3, and I'll give you a few seconds to turn that up, because we need to search the scriptures and look at what the Bible says on this. And it says to believers, 2 Peter 1:3, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. According to his divine power. When you are born again, when you are saved by grace, you receive God's power enabling you to say no to sin and enabling you to triumph over the power of sin. And here is Paul preaching to Felix temperance. Felix needed the victory of the gospel in his life. Otherwise, he would perish in his sin. And so will you. So will you. You'll die in your sins. You will be lost for all eternity unless in this world you have victory over sin by the Lord living within your heart. Thirdly, Paul exposed Felix, the accuser. Now, Felix's role in this situation was as judge, and he was the accuser of Paul. At least he was to listen to all the accusations that were against him, and he called upon Paul to give answer for his deeds. But do you notice in this passage how the Apostle Paul turned the tables around, and he took Felix to the truth of the judgment day, and he preached unto Felix judgment to come. Oh, that brought exposure to all and to Felix. Now, sin can be excused by men in this world, but not before the great judgment bar of God. Wrongs might be covered over in this world, but not at the great white throne of judgment, because hell awaits all the wicked. Hell is the rightful end of all who reject the Lord Jesus as their only Savior. And this judgment is certain. Paul preached to Felix of judgment to come. It's coming. It's like a great dam that is ready to burst. And all the reservoirs of water in the mountaintop is just ready to burst out. And right now, the mercy of God is extended. But when God takes away that hand of mercy, judgment is going to come. And sinners are going to be in the hands of an angry God. I don't want you to be in the hands of an angry God. I pray today that you will be saved, that you will run to the Lord Jesus and trust him as your Lord and as your Savior. Now, I wonder what excuses you may be making. You perhaps accuse the Bible. You would stand in judgment of the Word of God, and you stand in judgment of the life of the Lord Jesus. Well, I assure you, one day he's going to judge you. And he's going to send his fiery light into your life and expose your sins. How will you stand on that great day? How will you answer then? And so I plead with you to give your heart and trust him as your Savior today, that you might rejoice that your sin is covered by the Lord Jesus. Now I come to the next point, and that is that Paul exposed Felix as the Christ rejecter. You'll see in verse 25 how Felix trembled and he said, "Go thy way for this time." When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. And all gospel hearers expose themselves by their actions or by their response to the hearing of the gospel. Now, history tells us that Paul had been accused by the Jews and sent to appear before Nero. And to save his own skin, Felix sided with the Jews and he left Paul bound. Note the words in verse 27. To show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound. And so here is Felix. He's the politician. He's the man pleaser. He doesn't want to be out of popularity, although he seems to have lost his position nonetheless. And here he's playing the game, and he's playing with Paul's life, and he's playing with his own soul. And your response to the gospel is an exposure of who you are and what you are and what you're doing with the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Now, Christ's rejection is very soon exposed by your attitude and decisions of life. You're exposed when you choose to be married to someone who's not a Christian. You are declaring that it doesn't matter. You're declaring that there is no judgment upon the unconverted. And you are renouncing the very warnings of the gospel. You're exposed also when you choose the job offer, which means turning your back on honesty, on godliness, and the virtues of the gospel. And you are saying that the job, the money, the prestige is of more importance than living for God according to His truth. That exposes you. You're also exposed when you favor the company of the world over the company of God's people. When you want to be among sinners who enjoy blaspheming, cursing, swearing, lying, cheating, and doing all the wicked things of the world, when you choose that company, you are exposing that you have no interest in being a Christian. You have no concern for your soul and no faith in Jesus as Lord of your life. You're also exposed when you refuse godly standards of a Christian home. And I speak perhaps more to young people here. When you get to a certain age and you say, I'm leaving home. But if you're doing so because you want to be out from under the guidance of a loving Christian mother and father, and you want to get away from the preaching of the gospel, you won't have to go to a Bible church anymore. You can choose whatever. And when you walk out that door unrepentant with an attitude seeking freedom to do your own thing, you're exposing what you are in the sight of God. Lost, a Christ rejecter. You're also exposed when you go to bed one more night without faith in the Lord Jesus. If you put your head on the pillow this evening and you can sleep contentedly without a Savior, knowing that you're under God's judgment, somewhat trembling but refusing to accept the Lord, then you make yourself to be an enemy of the Lord. There is not one Christian living now who would trade places with you as an unsaved sinner. They tremble for you. They tremble for you in your position. And of course, they themselves are resting in the safety of the precious blood of Jesus. I want you to rest in the precious blood. We see here that Felix trembled, and so we should have, and so should you if the gospel has reached your heart today and you're not yet saved. Now, the best trembling is for a trembling soul to come to the foot of the cross. When you come as a trembling sinner to the Lord Jesus, confessing your guilt, your shame, your unworthiness, your lost condition. But I assure you, though you're trembling over your guilt, the Lord will receive you in great grace and in great mercy. He will take you in and save your soul. Now, Felix trembled at this preaching. He stood accused, and the fact of judgment to come should shake you also. Every word, deed, and thought will then on that judgment day be under the searchlight of God. And the Bible tells us we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, whether they be good or evil. Now, Paul exposed Felix, the procrastinator. He said at the end, when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. So he put off the decision and he clung to his sins. He chose Drusilla, his mistress, above the Lord and all the fame of position that the position of a sinner at the cross of Christ. He would not take that place. And Felix may have said, maybe when I am old, maybe when my days are almost run out here on earth, then I'll consider your preaching, Paul. But in a more convenient season. Well, we do not read of that convenient season ever coming for Felix. And you need to be warned that now is that proper time for you to be saved, not tomorrow. And maybe you're just acting like the salesman. When the salesman comes to the door and you hear what he has to say, well, you don't want to argue with him, you don't want to dispute the product, but you simply say, well, maybe another day. And if you're doing that with the gospel of the Lord Jesus, I tremble for you that you may never be saved. I read of a little girl in London, England, and she held up her broken wrist and said, look, Mommy, my hand is bent the wrong way. There were no tears in her eyes, no sense of pain at all. And then when she was 6 years old, her parents noticed that she was walking with a limp. And the doctor discovered that she had a fractured thigh. But she never felt a thing. And still, the girl, when she was 14 years old, she was very careful that she didn't damage her body so much. But occasionally she looked at the blisters and the burns that were on her hands. And she would do these things unknowingly. She did not feel any pain. How did this happen? She became insensitive to pain. Medical specialists are baffled at this, and it's called ganglioneuropathy. It is when the sensory nerves in the brain do not report what's happening to various parts of the body. And the Bible warns men and women about their conscience becoming seared, that you don't feel the prick of conscience warning you of God's judgment. And when you go on sinning repeatedly and refuse the voice of God, what happens? You lose that sensitive conscience. You become hardened until your conscience is seared or cauterized, that you don't feel a thing. Oh, I tremble. I tremble for you today if you're not saved. And we tremble for lost souls all around us who are more and more seemingly immune to the reality of God's judgment upon the wicked. But praise God, the Christian needs not do so. We have taken the step of faith. We have come to Christ, whatever the cost, and we let the Lord Jesus live and rule in our hearts. And by his grace, we are delivered from the guilt and the power of sin, and therefore we have this wonderful peace of the gospel. Our only lament as Christians is that we didn't come and trust the Lord sooner, that we didn't give the Lord our hearts at an earlier stage in our lives, and we wasted those years. We wasted our energy and our years of healthy living, and they were not for the glory of the Lord, but rather we lived to sow the sins of the flesh. That's our lament. We didn't come to Jesus early enough. And I pray with you today that you don't waste another day of your life sowing to the flesh, living for this world that will bring judgment upon you. Come today to trust in the Lord Jesus as your Redeemer and Savior. And so I stand before you today as Paul stood before Felix, and I plead with your soul. I don't just try to please you. I don't just try to bring some little message that will placate and build up my popularity. I want to be faithful to your soul, because if you're not a Christian, you're perishing. And the jaws of hell are waiting. The judgment day is coming. It's coming for certain. That's what Paul preached to this man, Felix. He preached unto him judgment to come. And if you're not saved, what a dreadful eternity it will be. I plead with you today and pray that you will trust and rest in the Lord Jesus as your Lord and as your Savior. And if I can be of personal help, you know how to reach me by phone, by email. I'll be glad to talk with you personally, one-to-one, open the Bible, help you to find verses that you can pray over. You need to do the praying. You need to do the pleading for salvation. And I'll be glad to help you look at texts like Romans 10, 1 John 1, those John 6, 37, those texts that will help you to pray for mercy and to enter into the kingdom of God. As Christians, we all pray, of course, that the Lord will have mercy upon this world in its that is under God's wrath. Canada is under God's wrath. This pandemic is an element of God's warning, telling people to get right with God. Let us keep on praying. And by God's grace, let us keep on preaching. We thank God for Paul's faithful ministry. Let that be our model, and may the Lord use his word. We're going to unite in prayer and seek the Lord in closing. Father, we earnestly pray today for your great mercy to the souls of men and women all around us, and to those who have listened in today and heard your word. Oh, that you would save them. I beg of thee, O God, that you would save their souls and turn them unto thyself in thy loving kindness. O God, in thy loving kindness, wilt thou turn the hearts of men to saving faith in the Lord Jesus. Lord, stop the procrastinator. Stop the person who's using excuses. Draw them by your gracious Spirit and marvelously save them by your power. O Lord, work today to every heart, and work in our nation. Hear our cry. Dismiss us with your blessing today. May the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with your redeemed people now and evermore.